You can just go to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. I want you to see this verse in verse 3 because this is where you and I are, and this is where we will be. This is where we'll always be. This is what we'll always have to do. Because Isaiah 26, and we're going to go to verse 3. It says, "Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." I will keep, or thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Everyone say stayed. If there's one thing that does take work on our part, that is this, that we use the effort to keep our mind, everyone say mind. The word mind in the original Hebrew means form, or like a concrete form. You know, before you pour concrete, you set forms up, and whatever, however you set it up, you pour the concrete in those forms and it takes that shape. You know, I have a friend that he did, one of his businesses was specifically drains and manholes, big manhole things, you know, and curbing, make curbs on the side of the road. And he had all these different forms that you set in place, and when you pour the concrete, it goes and it kind of sets up and it makes that specific shape. And so the word mind literally means form, it means framing, it means purpose, and it means imagination. So where you keep your thinking will prove your trust or distrust of the Lord. Now, I want to just say this because you'll in religious society, now I've said it before, so you've probably said it before, we always say we're trusting God. Well, anytime someone normally says that, my question would be is, how are you trusting God? Now, I'm not trying to be a turkey when I say that, but most of the time, most folk don't realize what trusting God really means. You see, trusting God starts with trusting what He said. It's learning to take someone at their word. If you can take someone at their word, you trust them. And so that's what we're doing. And it says, "Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." See, when your mind is stayed on the word of God, it's harder to drift and think about your situation. Because, you know when folks say, well, you know, my thoughts are with you. I don't want your thoughts with me. I want you to speak the word with me. You know, and that's kind of one of those this little terms that, oh, my thoughts are with you. Or they'll say thoughts and prayers. Usually if they throw thoughts and prayers, I'll be honest with you, I'm not quite sure the prayers are there. You know what I mean? Because again, I don't need your thought. Oh, I was thinking about all your situation today. Well, I don't want you to think about my situation. Help me think about my answer. Does that make sense? And so you and I, we've got to guard what we're thinking, because if there's one thing the enemy wants us to do is get our thinking on the problem. You know, I can think about my problem all day long, and you know what that does for me? It makes it worse, because it ingrains that problem deeper into my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, and that is the opposite of what I need to do. And it'll be just like the little guy here with Elisha, where he was all panicked to get out there and, oh my gosh, we are surrounded. Well, you know, when we are in a situation, we drop into a situation, a situation attacks on us and comes against us, that is the very first thought, whoa, I am surrounded. Well, I'll tell you something. In natural warfare, one of the things that they'll always tell small units or big units as well is that you only have one thing to do, one decision to make when you are attacked. Everybody says, what do you do when you are surrounded? When you are surrounded, you got one move. And you know what that move is? Attack. Attack. That's all. Well, you say, well, we're outnumbered 401. And you want to get captured and tortured by the enemy? Because see, they don't think you're going to attack anyway. They think, oh, well, he's going to capitulate. That's a big word. They think that you're going to roll over and just die right there. Or you're just going to give it up. See, we've got to get used to not giving up. You know, our kids at the school they go to, they did a active shooter drill recently. And part of my children's training was to counterattack. Now you think, well, what is a 7-year-old, what can they do in the middle of a situation? Well, you could stand there and tell them where to put the bullet, or you can get a stapler or a plant or a microphone and start throwing it at whoever in the world is coming your way. And so again, we've got to be programmed to attack. When something comes against us, instead of flinching, it's Now, I appreciate my mom, because growing up, mom was a scrapper. She, you know, I've heard stories about her and how how mean she was, and I witnessed it myself. But anyway, but you know, I've never feared anybody but my mother, okay? And so one time, now she trained us to always be ready, be on the run. That was her thing. Now, growing up, I had to learn to be a little bit more discerning about who to attack and be nice and don't attack just because you're offended right then. You know what I'm saying? But she did. She was little. She's always been smaller. And so, you know, little dog syndrome. You know what I'm saying? You got to have a big bark. But with her, she had a big bite as well. And so, man, I heard stories about her clocking guys with skillets. I'm telling you, when she was a teenager, she got whipped every day. She said every single day she got a whooping. She said there was one day where Dad whooped her, and she said, Dad, I'd do nothing. He said, well, you probably not today, but you always normally do it. I missed stuff before. And so anyhow, so one day she's walking around, she's coming down the hall. I was going the other way down the hall, and I didn't see her, so she startled me coming around the corner. Well, again, my reflexes are, you know, that's why you don't want to startle me, because I might hit you. So as soon as I got startled, I reared back like that. And she goes, boy, don't you ever try to do that again. Don't you ever hit me. It's her fault. She taught me that. But what I'm saying is, you and I need to be programmed. And that's a huge word. Because meditating the word, and I got that this morning, meditating the word will program you and your responses. If our response is to fall apart or panic, you see, panic is fear. Well, I deal with anxiety. Anxiety, the word actually means fear. And so we could train our way out of that. And the key is every time you find yourself in a bad situation, get back to the Word. Get back to the Word. Where's that Word at? Where's that? Text me, call me, whatever you got to do. I'll find you a scripture. But the main thing is that we've got to get used to what we have to do whenever we're in a situation. And that is keep your mind stayed on the Word. Every day, if not all day, several times a day, the enemy is trying to run something past you. Now, you may not recognize that, but he's always, hey, let me run this past you. What if you fail today? Hey, let me run this past you. What if you have a blowout and you ain't got no spare tire? Hey, let me run this past you. What if your car blows up and you have no money in savings to fix it and buy a new car? Hey, let me run this past you today. What if you get sick? Oh, what if this thing on the inside is a tumor? Oh, hey, let me run this past you today. What if that pain in your chest isn't indigestion? What if it is a heart attack? Hey, let me run this past you today. You see what I'm saying? And you and I, we've got to have a ready response every single time. If we're not ready to lash out at the enemy with his words, then you know what? He's going to get the upper hand. And so God will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on his word. Whose responsibility is it to keep our mind stayed on the word? It's ours. It's our responsibility. And if we don't, then what's going to happen is we will be overrun. You see, being overwhelmed is when you're flooded with thoughts. Is that correct? Oh my gosh, I just feel so over. Now, how many of y'all been overwhelmed before? I have felt overwhelmed. I can tell you, I couldn't count on 20 fingers if I had them. But yes, we've all been there, and all that was when we had so much going on and so much to do, and we didn't have an immediate response to go right back. First things first. See, that's why Paul talked about, he said, I consider everything else but dung. But this, knowing God, this one thing I do, pressing in toward the mark of the high calling in God. So if you ever had a question on what you ought to do first, then we know Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. You know, Keys and I are believing for some extra funds for this house. Sowing. We are sowing. What's the answer? Sow. How do you get more money? You sow. What are we going to do? We're going to sow. We going to worry? No, we're not going to worry. Whenever we made a point, we had to get together and said, you know what? We are not going to be concerned. We're getting a steal of a deal, so, man, we're going to take it. And so we are not going to be. Everybody say, I'm not concerned.
I'm not concerned.
I am not worried.
I'm not worried.
The word works.
The word works.
Every single time.
Every single time.
Praise God. And so we'll keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. The verse, you can write this down, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. If there's something the devil wants to do, it is this. It is to blind you from seeing the light of the word, blind you to only seeing the evidence of your circumstances. You see, if all we see is the evidence of our circumstances, then that's all we'll have on the inside of us, and we will meditate on the problem, which is called worry. Worry. Meditation on the problem is called worry. And anytime we are worrying, we are digging those problems deeper into our soul, our psyche. We are driving it deeper. And the problem with doing that, it's harder to get that stuff cleaned out of us the deeper we place that stuff. Does that make sense? And so everybody say, I'm not going to worry. I'm a believer. I don't worry. Now, I want you to listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. This is Paul here, talking to the church at Corinth. It says, I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Everybody say simplicity. You see, the way God operates, the system of the kingdom of heaven is so simple. I'm telling you, it is one of the most simplest things to learn, the simplest things to understand. It is so simple that religion over the years has tried to make it so complex that whenever you hear how simple it is, our automatic response is, no, that can't work. That's just too easy. You mean say what God says? Get the Word of God. Meditate. You know, Andrew Womack has a series called Effortless Change. Man, you ought to download that for free on the internet. Effortless Change. And all it is when you get the Word of God on the inside and begin to meditate on the Word automatically. Everyone say automatically. Automatically your situation begins to change. Automatically. When the Word goes to work on the inside, automatically your whole situation begins to change. But that sounds so easy. That sounds too simple. I mean, all I have to do is meditate the Word. You know, part of meditation, the word meditate, one of the words means mutter, M-U-T-T-E-R, and that's confession. That's the same thing. It's saying what the Word says. It is telling yourself. So you're not always telling the devil what you believe. You got to get yourself to convince yourself of what the Word of God, you got to convince yourself what the Word says. Amen? We know it, and it sounds, well, you know, I know that verse, Pastor Michael. Well, I know you know the verse. We all know the verse, but is it inside of us? And the proof of it is this. Number one, when you get poked, that verse comes out. That's the proof of it. Number two, you're always speaking it because out of the abundance of the heart, not in the halfway full of the heart, but when you are full of the specific Word, but man, I don't care what happens to you. Man, the devil tries to throw sickness. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I don't care what the devil says. An ugly looking bill comes in. I'm blessed. He's provided all my needs according to riches and glory. But again, it's not in your knowing the verse. It's being full of the verse. Does that make sense? All right. So it says here that these people are blinded by simplicity. Man, religion loves to make things look so far out of your reach. Well, you know, you've only been saved for a couple years, so I'm not quite sure you can get this just yet. Hey, listen, there's something that I saw this weekend that was so good. Y'all remember the blind man that Jesus spit in the ground, made some mud, put in his eyes, the guy washed, and that was on the Sabbath. And so the Pharisees, the religious folk, the people that knew more than anybody else, you know, they went to seminary, all right? And so they come and they're mad because Jesus healed this dude on the Sabbath. So they call that guy's parents up and they're you know inquiring. They are interrogating the parents. And the parents said, "Look, yeah, he was blind. Y'all know he's blind. He's been there forever. Y'all know this. But why don't y'all quit talking to us? Talk to him. He's of age." So they call that guy in there and the guy says, "Look, I don't know what happened. I don't know understand the particulars of why this man spit." Why he made clay, but he said this. He said, all I know was that I was blind, but now I see. Now, how simple is that? You see, a lot of times we think we've got to know all these crazy things, and well, you know, if you understand this, then maybe you can understand that. If you get this, you can get that. Listen, the kingdom system is so simple. What is it? Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, as long as the earth remains, cold and heat, summer and winter, seed time and harvest will not end. Man, if you just get the simplicity of that, that the whole thing works by seed time and harvest, and then you go to Luke chapter 9 where it tells us that the seed is the Word of God, that is simple. But the problem is it sounds so simple that it throws our... Listen, I have a religious background, so when I use the word religion as a dirty word, I'm talking about myself. I know exactly what I'm talking about. And so you and I, the simplicity of it, and then what happens is it sounds too simple, and we're like, no, that can't be it. See, the devil wants to make you think that you can't figure this out. He wants to blind us to the fact that, you know what? As long as you are open to the Word and open to the Spirit, you'll figure it out. You will get it. If you're doing what the Word says, it will all come to you. Oh man, I was just thinking about y'all watch that movie Ratatouille. When you cook, they will come, or something like that. Yeah. And so anyway, I've seen that a million times. Okay, all right. Mark chapter 6, verse 52. This talks about, you can just write this down. This is where the disciples were in the boat, and they were rowing and toiling, all that stuff, and nothing seems to happen. And then Jesus comes walking on the water, and they're scared. And then Jesus, makes everything still, and all that, gets on the boat. And the Bible says that they, because they considered not what happened before, they didn't think about what Jesus did before, their hearts were hardened. The word consider means to think about. Hey, how many times have you thought about what God has already done for you in the past? You know, it's important to keep your mind stayed on the goodness of God. The Bible says it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. You know, how many times have we stepped back and said, okay, well, I got a big bill coming up, but man, I remember what God did in the past. I remember what God did before. See, the enemy wants us to say, but I don't know, will he do it again? What's the old song? Yes, he'll do it again. Y'all know that song? All right. Am I saying my age real quick? I'm a young guy. All right. Okay. Let's look at, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Are you seeing this today? You see, everything that we're doing, we're learning how to live from the inside out. But we tend to get distracted from the outside, and then it hinders us seeing on the inside. But we're changing that. We're learning to keep our eyes fixed on the Word and not on our situation. It is so easy to have our eyes fixed on the natural. I mean, that's how we were raised. That's how we were born and trained, and our parents raised us this way, and now we're learning something. Well, it's not new. It's new to us, but it's not new. It's just the way the whole kingdom operated since before the creation of man. This whole thing operated by getting the thoughts of God, speaking God's thoughts, and watching instantly what God does. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither enter the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love Him. So in other words, God has prepared things that think great things for you, good things for you. But again, we're trying to recognize it with our eyes. You can write down Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3. It says, this is a prophecy regarding Jesus. And he shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. In other words, Jesus modeled this where he didn't just go by what he saw. He didn't just go by what he saw. If he'd have done that, if he lived his life by everything he saw instead of by on the inside, the woman at the well, he'd have never talked to the woman at the well. She's a dirty dog Samaritan. He would have never spoke to her, but he doesn't look at that. He doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. Y'all remember when Samuel came over to Jesse's house to pick the next king of Israel, went through the list, and all the big boys, first the good-looking, sharp guys were checked out, and they weren't in. And then finally he's like, Jesse, you got another son? And he says, well, yeah, but I mean, my little shepherd boy, David, out in the, he's just a shepherd boy. He's out there tending the sheep, and I guess I'll go get him. And so as soon as he came in, man, Samuel knew exactly that was the next king of Israel. David was not the most likely. He was not the highest on the list. Nobody would have voted for him. They'd have voted for the big boys. They'd have voted for the sharp-looking, the good-looking, the macho dudes. But listen, God doesn't look at the outside. He looks on the inside. Therefore, you and I need to stop judging what God can do based on the calculation of your situation. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We calculate what God can do. Well, I don't know if God can do that because we live in a depressed area. That's one of the things, one of our mandates down in Belize is getting those folk to believe God and not their situation. Well, I don't know how God can work in a third world country. I mean, he worked in the desert, didn't he? He worked in the wilderness and multiplied food and, And man, don't limit God by what we see. And so we got to get there. You can write this down. Write down Isaiah 64:4. This verse is the same thing as the New Testament one we just read. It says, from the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what hast thou prepared for them that wait on him? You see, God's prepared stuff for you who wait. Everyone say wait. The word wait means to expect. Expectation. Matter of fact, in the Greek, the word hope is expectation. We need to be cultivating expectation. Now, I know at our jobs or in our society, there's a lot of things we can't really expect naturally. But God is not wanting us, once again, to live by the outside. He's wanting us to live by the inside. He wants us to operate by the inside and quit living by the outside. Amen? All right, let's turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Does this help anybody today? Romans chapter 4. Therefore, let's look at verse 6, or 16, pardon me, Romans 4, 16. Therefore, if it is of faith, that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So God calls things that do not exist in the natural, the temporal, the temporary. He calls things that do not exist in front of your natural eyes as if they do. Now, is God hallucinating? Is he psychotic? Is he hearing voices? Is he, okay, all right, good, I knew you'd say that. But a lot of times we forget how God operates. God doesn't need to see it on the outside, because God sees it very vividly on the inside. And when you and I begin to meditate on what God said about our situation, instead of what our situation is saying about our situation, then what happens is you and I are building our expectation, our expectancy. That's what waiting on the Lord is. I'm expecting. You know, when you order something from Amazon, and they'll send you an email when to expect it. Now, for Keys and I, we have bad expectation for Amazon because we don't get mail at our house. And I mean, it's hit or miss if we're going to get anything. I mean, it is bad. And so it's a little bit different there. But y'all who have real mailboxes, you know, when you see it on the email, it says that you can expect your deal by the end of day on such and such. Man, if you're at home that day, you're looking. You're expecting it to come, and you're waiting for it, you know, because it says by 8 o'clock or end of day or whatever, and you know that your thing is coming in there. Well, listen, we need to have that same believing in the Word of God, like we do that little email from Amazon. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, when you track shipments from FedEx or UPS, it is, and then it says it's delivered. Y'all ever had that where like UPS, I ordered something from the UPS one time, and it was shipped to the UPS store because I couldn't, it was our phones, I believe. Because we don't want electronics come into our house and we're not there. And so I got a text message that says your package has arrived. Well, I've got news for you. The text has already been sent that your package has already arrived, but we're not paying attention sometimes to the deliverer or the originator of the item shipped. If God says that you are blessed, then no matter what your situation says to you, you are blessed. And as we get the Word of God on the inside and begin to meditate on the inside and make God's thoughts our thoughts, then you'll begin to see it just like He sees it. But until we begin to get our attention off of our situation and onto the Word of God, until we choose to stay in peace by giving our attention to the Word of God, things will not change. Now, I don't like the fact that I've got to do something. I'd love, that's what the beauty of socialism. Everybody does everything for you. Well, you know, you can take care of my health. You can take care of my finances. And, you know, Pastor Frank Gordo and some friends of ours from Dumas, they're in Ireland this week. One of the churches they planted, and then they planted another one there with some of their spiritual kids. They're you know, out there. Matter of fact, y'all, I don't know if y'all saw this on it, but he accidentally left a 22 bullet in one of his bags. And so when they arrived in Germany, they got him, they questioned him, took him to interrogation, and it was just poor guy. But he was good. So anyhow. And so, but what I'm saying this morning is this. If you and I will begin to change what we're seeing, if we will quit believing what we see on the outside, if we'll stop, and we do this with people also, because the principle works across. If we are judging folk by what we see, then you're not going to get what you're believing for on the outside, I mean, with other things in your life. Well, you know, so-and-so always frustrates me. Okay, well, how's your finances? Well, you know, I'm believing God. It's going to be just fine. Well, you know, if you're looking at them on the outside, you're probably looking at your finances from the outside also. That's why the Bible says that faith works by love. Because if we're not operating, because love is one of the highest actions of faith you can ever do. Love someone who is calling you stuff. Love someone who has done ugly things to you. Man, they have slighted you. They have done stuff to you and said stuff about you behind your back. And love them. But listen, that's an act of faith to walk and say, I love them. And you love them by faith. I love them. Jerk. I mean, just be careful what you say. You know, man. Just, you know, guard your lips. But what I'm saying this morning is this. If you and I will begin to meditate the Word, begin to make the conscious choice to fix our eyes on the Word and no longer fix our attention on the problems, you'll see your problems begin to wither away. What is that, that song, Turn Your Eyes to Jesus, and the things of earth will go strangely dim. And so it'll just dim. It'll just dim. I think of the Newsboys version from back in the 90s. But what I'm saying is it'll just fade away. And what we thought was a major incident, a major problem, you'll look back and you're like, oh, that thing I thought was a mountain, that was less than a molehill. Amen? Let's stand. I've been out of town, so Keith and I, we kind of got off of this, but one of the things we made the decision to do, we get about an hour an evening to watch TV, and we've recorded, we have continued recording on BVOVN, the Prosperity Series that Pastor George and Miss Gloria has been doing for years. And, you know, it's important. If we're going to prosper, then we got to feed ourselves in the Word of prosperity. Yes, we do sow seed, and that's important. But in order to get that harvest, you got to believe for it. You got to believe. You got to believe, and the way you believe is by getting the Word of God on the inside of you. And let me just say this, and this will set you free also. Listen for God in the area of sowing, because God's not going to, this is not the only place, ministry, that God will have you to sow seed. And so I want to just free you with that. Because God has spoke to many of us in here to sow seed in other ministries. And you know, our church sows seed into many ministries. Keys and I are partnered with many ministers. And so so if God speaks to you to sow a seed someplace else, well, you do that. You do that. Because, again, we want to obey God. All right? I know a lot of pastors won't tell you that. They're like, well, you know, God will always have you sow seed here. Well, of course He'll have you sow seed here, but not every seed. Not every seed. I mean, there's places bigger than us. And the beauty of it is when you sow seed elsewhere and prosperity ministries and stuff like that, and all of a sudden you are prospering, man, the tithe comes in. We're happy about that. I'll tell you that right now. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm not an idiot, man. I'm going to let God be God and let me just stay out of the way. Amen? But today I believe that you saw it. I believe your eyes have opened to the realization that, you know what? I can walk in the truth of God's Word. I can walk in the supernatural instead of walking in the natural. Like what Joel got our attention to is the anointing. We can live out of the anointing and quit living out of the natural. We can be energized and empowered by the same power that crushed the enemy. That sets us free. Isn't that right? Let's bow our heads.